From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. This is the third and final hour of the G and Ursula Show, and I got to tell you, we sure appreciate you listening to us every morning. G is off today, and I am joined by Felix Bunnell, who is our Cairo radio historian and talk show host extraordinaire. Good morning, Felix.
Hey, how's it going?
Coming up later this hour, Miley Katie's going to be stopping by. She has some Valentine's Day tips, especially if you are single on this Valentine's Day. And we're also going to have your feedback on our interview with King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg. And, of course, we're going to end the show with Words to Live By, which is what we do every day. But now, let's get on with the show. It's been more than a week since the President's State of the Union address and his subsequent acquittal in the impeachment trial. Democrats have turned their attention back to the 2020 campaign. So what can we expect from the rest of President Trump's term?
How much time do you have?
Are you serious? How are the Democrats looking in their bid to unseat him? You know who's going to help us sort this out? It is one of our favorites, Michael Medved, conservative radio host and author of the new book, God's Hand on America. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ursula. Great to talk to you.
We always love having you here. Before we get into all of the election stuff, I do want to mention one thing. Right now, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling on Chief Justice John Roberts to speak up on behalf of D.C. federal judge Amy Jackson, who was criticized by President Trump on Twitter. She is presiding over the Roger Stone case, which is, of course, ablaze now with controversy over the decision by the Justice Department to reduce the jail time that they were recommending for the president's friend, Roger Stone.
I can't imagine, by the way, because this just happened today, right? That
yes.
He attacked Amy Berman Jackson.
Yes.
It is of all the stupid things that President Trump has done, and there are literally more than 10,000 of them that you can name, and most of them are trivial, this could be a big one. And I'll tell you why. On February 20th, Judge Amy Berman Jackson gets the final say on sentencing the convicted felon, Roger Stone. She gets to decide. And let's say she decides that, yeah, I think the initial recommendation by the Justice Department that he should serve 7 to 9 years in prison, which President Trump has said is unforgivable. It's a miscarriage of justice. He's already attacked it. He's let himself. What if this judge, who does it cannot be fired by the president, says, OK, we're going to sentence Roger Stone to all that time in prison? Does that mean that President Trump is going to then just pardon him? It probably does.
Yeah.
And
but what does
doing
that,
that is so outrageous. Here's the difficulty. One of the reasons I was always opposed to impeachment, and let me go down as one of those people early on, don't do this. This is stupid. It's not going to work. This is why impeachment was so awful. Because on something like this, you're on much stronger ground. But the difficulty is, having just run up the impeachment hill and been turned back, they can't run up that hill again, not so close to the election. But it is a very legitimate election issue. Would people get excited by it? Probably not.
Yeah.
But for those of us who know anything about the legal system at all, for a president to attack a sitting federal judge with, by the way, an impeccable reputation, and to do it before she has even decided about her sentence,
right,
is just beyond imagining.
But why is he doing this? Sorry, Felix. Right. Why is he doing this? You know, he was acquitted. He had these great poll numbers. It's almost like he is shooting himself.
You know why he's doing it? He's doing it to give a headbutt to Susan Collins. Susan Collins said she was going to vote against impeachment because she thought President Trump had learned his lesson.
Right.
He's saying, I haven't learned any lessons. I'm going to be more outrageous than ever. And now there's nothing you can do about me because I have been, he says, that beautiful word, totally acquitted. but
no space, just one word. Totally acquitted.
That's the best word in the English language. Totally acquitted.
But on the Amy Berman Jackson thing, I mean, in some ways it makes perfect sense because he can attack her, he can attack the process, he can attack the jury, he can claim all this stuff because ultimately he does get to pardon Roger Stone if he wants. And there's sort of there's no accountability. There's nothing that can touch what he wants to accomplish in that case. So if he gets a chance to beat up some judges who a lot of people don't trust anyway, it sort of kind of plays into that stuff he always does, just fuel all this.
Well, Craig, and let me say, he's not the first president to, abuse or at least allegedly abuse the pardon power. You may remember at the very end of Bill Clinton's presidency, he pardoned one of his major donors, Mark Rich, and that stank. That was the wrong thing to do. But he was already leaving the White House. He wasn't running for re-election. President Trump is, and I know that what a lot of Republican strategists are saying is that, well, this is great because if Democrats just aim their attacks on Trump on stuff like this, it is so complicated. Mm-hmm. And for those core people in Trump's base who believe that the Mueller case was a witch hunt and it was a hoax and that impeachment was entirely a witch hunt and a hoax, then any screaming or shouting about some federal judge, I don't know, maybe is it possible that Trump could gin up some support from some of his loyal supporters, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, to impeach Judge Amy Berman Jackson if this confrontation continues? Now, I know that sounds outrageous, but that's no more outrageous than what he's done. By the way, do you know what Stone did to Judge Jackson?
No.
He posted on social media a photograph of her in the crosshairs. And this is during a time that he was under a gag order. Right. He wasn't supposed to be communicating. And he was focusing. And again, it is so monumentally stupid. She is running the trial in which he could have been convicted to serve 20 years. So now they're asking that he get a 7 to 9 year sentence. He probably won't get that. My guess is Judge Jackson will sentence him to 2 years.
Really?
But Trump will pardon him.
Can we go back? Sorry, just real quick. We haven't had a chance to talk to you, Michael, about what happened in New Hampshire. What surprised you most about the outcome in that primary?
Amy.
Right?
Look, Amy Klobuchar is right now, I think she is probably the best hope for Democrats right now to unite the party, bring the party together, nominate somebody without obvious vulnerabilities. And I know people, you know what the big rap is against Amy?
Yeah.
She has a tough time getting along with staff.
Which
okay, compared to Trump, right?
You're fired.
Well, yeah, exactly. In comparison to anyone, I mean, Michael Bloomberg has his own PR nightmare going on right now.
No, Michael Bloomberg has a world of problems, and one of them is that he's 78 years old. He's 77. Bernie's 78.
Yeah, so Bernie's the oldest, but Michael,
But again, honestly, and Trump is 73. He's going to be 74. But he's vigorous, and he does not project nearly as old as Bernie does.
Yeah.
I think that is going to matter. Amy Klobuchar doesn't project like a teenager, like Mayor Pete does. and by the way, what people need to do.
You're laughing. Although I gotta say, there is some certain appeal. Mayor Pete may look. A lot of people say he looks like Alfred Newman from Mad Men.
No, he's a very videogenic candidate. Yeah. He projects very well. Nobody speaks more cogently or elegantly than Mayor Pete,
which he will be deeply punished.
Well, he can do it in seven languages. Well, the other thing that he's doing, though, Michael, is that he's going on every single media outlet.
Right, and which is correct. I'm eager to have him on our show. And I think Mayor Pete is, he does, however, and it's outrageous. Today, Rush Limbaugh emphasized that America is not ready to elect a candidate who's married to a man and kisses his husband on the stage.
Well, the way he said it was much. You
it was
said
worse.
It was pretty bad.
I think that is a factor, and the polls say it is. Mm-hmm. And the bigger factor for Mayor Pete is a lack of meaningful governmental experience. Being mayor of the 308th largest city in the country.
It's like the size of Eugene, Oregon.
Just to get back to Amy for a moment.
Yes.
What she hasn't done well yet, and she ought to do, is to tell more of her personal story.
Yes.
More of her marital history. Because her husband, John Bessler, is just an outstanding guy. He's very impressive, and he's been very much deliberately in the backside of the campaign. Her daughter, Abigail, just graduated summa cum laude from Yale, as Amy did. And she, from a very humble, troubled background, which she has talked about a little bit, has been, by all accounts, an enormously successful politician and U.S. senator with a very romantic, positive, equally yoked kind of relationship with John Bessler. John Bessler, if you don't know the name, he's the author of 10 books. He is a professor at Georgetown University Law Center, which is one of America's top law schools. And he is the leading national advocate against capital punishment, which, by the way, is one of those issues that should help Amy resonate more than she is right now in the black community.
Well, and I do want to talk about the votes in the black community and what exactly has happened to Joe Biden and all the support that he supposedly has. But just back on Amy, one of the things that really doesn't get out enough, too, is that how much, like you said, she has been able to work with both parties.
Yes,
and
she
has. And how successful she has been in the Senate.
And in Minnesota, Minnesota and New Hampshire were the two states that Hillary carried that were very, very close, where Trump came within 1%. Mm. And on that same ticket, Amy Klobuchar got 58%. She was on the ballot in 2016. And that's the least she's done in all her statewide races. She has been enormously popular. And as she points out, she has carried red counties that no other Democrat in Minnesota has been able to carry.
And does her style fit in the sort of Trump world that we're in now in terms of how she's worked with people in the past and how she's brought those diverse groups together? How does that work in the greater country?
It's an alternative. It's very different. She's going to be somebody who doesn't insult you on Twitter and instead brings you some Minnesota hot dish. By the way, my wife made for our Sabbath meal last Sabbath, she took Amy's Minnesota hot dish recipe.
Really?
Yeah, which includes tater tots.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
tater tot casserole.
Yes, and fortunately you can get kosher tater tots.
Oh, that's great. So what do you think is an electable Democratic ticket, and for what would be palatable for Republicans who don't like President Trump?
I think the dream ticket, and people are talking about it for Democrats, and a winning ticket is Klobuchar and her good friend, and he is, and Senate colleague Cory Booker.
And Cory Booker, that name hasn't been around for a little bit.
No, but Cory was a terrific mayor of a much bigger city than South Bend, Indiana, and who turned it around, supported policing. And Cory, though he underperformed as a presidential candidate, wasn't he? Cory Booker debating Mike Pence is kind of a prospect that I think Democrats would relish.
Would like.
He didn't campaign very well. In the debates and stuff, I always found him getting, like, pontificating too much, and suddenly he was giving a speech on the Senate floor about sort of all the stuff he knew and how he had done these. It didn't quite translate for me.
Yeah. The one thing about Cory, and again, this is background, he was an All-American tight end for Stanford. And he's quite an athlete. He was a Rhodes Scholar and really graduated high in his class at Yale Law. Now, again, this is, Medved, talking about these elitist credentials. I think that after Trump, a lot of people who are looking for an alternative to Trump would not undervalue intelligence.
I don't want to overly bash because there are people now just fuming saying, we love President Trump.
And that's fine.
Right.
Yeah,
and they will vote for President Trump no matter what, no matter who the Democratic. By the way, the other prospect for Democrats, when you talk about dream tickets, and it's an increasingly real prospect, is that nobody moves ahead in these primaries, that there is no clear front runner. You come to the convention, there's no majority on the first ballot. Nobody gets 50% plus one. And therefore, they move to a second ballot. On the second ballot, there are 740 superdelegates who are party leaders and part of the establishment who get to vote. And they all twist some arms and they bring out Michelle Obama. And she
has flat out said no way.
I know.
I mean, the next you're going to tell me they're going to bring out Oprah Winfrey.
No, well, that's the ticket. look, Michelle Obama is one of the most popular people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
She set all-time records selling her book. People are going to say, well, what's her experience? Well, she did serve in the White House for 8 years, and she was a very successful attorney. She had a better legal career than her husband. But whether that's real, whether she decides to do it, she's an empty nester now. The girls are away at college. And
I know all about that.
And I think if people come, by the way,
intriguing.
I'll tell you what else is intriguing, and I think I spoke to you about this before, but there is a great deal of speculation that Justice Ginsburg is waiting for a Democratic president before she retires.
That makes sense.
And that Justice Ginsburg's dream replacement on the court would be somebody who used to be a professor of constitutional law, who would be very easily confirmed by the Senate, named Barack Obama.
Oh. Okay, now you're...
And again, we've had that experience before. President William Howard Taft,
that's right,
after he left the White House, was appointed by President Harding to be Chief Justice and became a very distinguished Chief Justice, much more than he was as a president.
Might be the only good thing Harding ever did, probably.
No, there were some other good things. You got to be nice to Warren G.
I got to tell you, every day I don't think it can get more bizarre, and it does. Right?
Well,
I just like,
tune
what,
in tomorrow.
What reality are we in?
I'll tell you what I'm going to be talking about on my show is there is just evidence, and it's been admitted, that Tom Steyer is literally buying endorsements in South Carolina, and he may win the South Carolina primary, but paying like $40,000.
Which is coming up next. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's buying up what? And then
he's buying up state senators and state reps who are African American. South Carolina, 60% of the Democratic voters are black. And Tom Steyer is running second in the polls right now. Ugh. Biden is falling like a rock.
Right.
And the idea that Tom Steyer could actually win or finish second in that primary should chill every Democrat. And you say, if things, what could go more bizarre? I'll tell you what could go more bizarre. The next big primary, which is, what is it? It's 2 weeks from this coming Saturday. It's February 29th. What could really be most bizarre is Tom Steyer winning a primary and throwing the entire race into utter confusion and chaos.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Michael Medved, it's always a joy to have you here.
Thank you.
You can hear Michael on our sister station, KTTH, and also you can read his new book, God's Hand on America. Miley Katie's going to be joining us next, talking about Valentine's Day. You're listening to The G and Ursula Show. It is 11:33. We are in the final stretch of the G and Ursula Show, brought to you today by Tycor Title. And we cannot tell you how much we appreciate that you are listening to the show. Coming up, we're going to be getting your feedback, and we'll be sharing what you've shared with us on the text line at 98973. Right now, Miley Katie is here. It's always fun to have you here, Miley.
Always fun to be here.
And you're here to talk about Valentine's Day.
I am. Valentine's Day is tomorrow, but let's get into the mood with today's holiday for all us single folks.
February 14th, Valentine's Day, is about romance. But February 13th, Galentine's Day, is about celebrating lady friends. It's wonderful, and it should be a national holiday.
I think I celebrate that almost every day. I try to. It's important, right?
Yes.
To celebrate with your girlfriends.
Yes. And in fact, even when you're married, it's important to celebrate with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
Yeah.
Right, Felix? Right.
Do you have a guy friends day?
I don't have any friends at all. So it's very easy for me to keep pretty busy.
You better get your sweetheart something nice then if she's the only person in your life. So Business Insider released an article talking about how to stay emotionally strong if you're single on Valentine's Day, which I love the sharp slap in the face that feels like to everyone who is single that we should be lonely.
Oh, but you know what, though? This is when you are single. This is one of those days where you, from people who are single, who I know, say it is kind of one of those where it just feels like, ugh.
It can. It can. The Amy Morin is a psychotherapist, and she was in the article for Business Insider, and she talked about how this holiday, even though you know, you can make jokes about it like I did, but it does amplify feelings of loneliness for a lot of people because it can be a reminder of the things that you don't have. So she gave a few tips to stay emotionally strong. So anyone who's single, stay tuned. She recommends practicing self-compassion.
Okay, what does that look like?
Just don't get spun out into a narrative that there's something wrong with you or that this is a reminder that you don't have something that you should have. So just be kind to yourself and maybe buy a box of chocolates for yourself or do something
nice. Now I'm really sad. I was feeling okay about this until you said the thing about buying a box of chocolates for yourself.
Just gorge yourself on sugar.
How about treating yourself to a massage or doing something special, something that would, you know, just make you feel good.
Yeah. I think that might be a healthier maybe a combination. I would love a massage and a box of chocolates.
Well, just get a box of chocolates and massage it.
Yeah. So another thing that she talked about doing is creating a mantra.
Okay.
So she says to prepare a statement to combat negative thoughts. So to drown out negative thoughts by repeating something like a message of self-love. I think mantras are something that not everyone can get on board with. I have had a hard time with them myself, but I know that like my father uses mantras, and he's always been a big supporter of them. Okay. Whether it's like I am successful, I am worthy of love, I am confident, and I think that is not saying those are my dad's mantras.
Yes. Yeah.
He's never shared them with me.
How's your dad? Let's give your dad a call. Let's call him up, make sure he's okay.
Every morning in the mirror. No,
you doing okay, Dad? You look a little tired.
But so another thing you can do is you can just pay a celebrity to say whatever you want instead. There's a new app called Cameo. Where celebrities are signing up to sell video shout outs to fans. One of the biggest names on the app is the Seahawks' very own Tyler Lockett. So his profile is currently turned to away, but this is his message when you go to his profile on the site.
Hey everybody, how you doing? It's Tyler Lockett from the Seattle Seahawks, and I'm excited to be on Cameo just to be able to talk to you guys and get to know y'all. It's kind of hard to be able to do this type of stuff during the season, but now that we're out the season, I could really be able to just talk to y'all, greet y'all, and do whatever it is that you guys want me to do. If you want to book me, you guys can book me. All right, see you later.
So when he is available, you can pay. Some people say they've paid $25 to have him call someone and wish them a happy birthday or a happy Valentine's Day. He called someone and told a guy that his wife was pregnant. That was a really sweet one.
Miley, what does your dad charge to do that?
He would do it for free. Okay, he's such a sweetheart.
Okay, so what are you going to be doing on Valentine's Day? I mean, what do you do as a single person, in all honesty? Is it like any other day?
I really like the sense of occasion. I like any excuse to celebrate and focus on something positive. So for me, I'm going to be here with you tomorrow morning. And then I'll probably work out and I'll probably wear something red and kind of festive. And I just focus on self-care. And that is, I think, physical and emotional. And then I'll probably have a glass of wine with some girlfriends.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Felix, you've been married a long time. I mean, I've been married a long time, too. And what are you guys going to do for Valentine's?
Might go a little weekend getaway, something like on Saturday or Sunday, probably. Nothing tomorrow, probably, specifically.
Yeah. So it actually hasn't been planned. What do you do?
You can't really have one. In my feeling, you can't have like one day of the year be focused on. It's got to be year round, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's so true. Yeah, and I also think like it's almost like being single on Valentine's Day is like not being Irish on St. Patrick's Day. And what I buy a box of Lucky Charms on St. Patrick's Day. That's how I celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So we'll do some equivalent of buying a box of Lucky Charms for the weekend.
I mean, or having some whiskey. I mean, I think, you know, just because you're not Irish doesn't mean you can't celebrate. So that's my mantra for Valentine's Day. I'm going to be having a fun Valentine's Day, even if I go out by myself. I think a massage would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to one of those places where it says it's a foot massage?
Oh.
Place.
I go weekly.
Where do you go? Do you go in the International District to the
I go
Emerald City?
Usually in the U District. I need it for stress relief. And I say that, I go weekly. It's not cheap. I mean, they're a lot cheaper than regular massage. And if you find a good place, that's where you want to go.
And what happens at these places that say they're massage places, as Miley described it?
Well, they give you a little more than you advertise. No, it's just they say
What are we talking about here?
Wait. Well, they say it's a foot massage, but it's a full body massage, but it's clothes on.
You can get that.
It's like $30 the place I go to.
Yeah. I mean, I go, it's 40, which, for every week, that's something that not everybody can afford, but I need to take more pills. I need it for stress relief. But yes, the answer to that question is yes.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
My husband is going to take me to a Korean barbecue place because it kind of fits with my newly designed diet. And hopefully maybe I'll get some beautiful flowers because I always love that.
What are your favorite flowers?
Roses.
Oh, do you have a favorite?
Okay, wait. I want to ask you. What would your perfect Valentine's Day date be?
I think that the perfect date would have very few expectations. I think that a lot of times the perfect experience is sort of can be destroyed by expectations. You know, any my best times have been, I think, the unexpected ones. In fact, this reminds me, I wasn't going to talk about this today, but Rachel Bell did a piece recently on another app called Mystery. Mm-hmm. And it's a Seattle-based app where you can pay people to plan a date for you.
Hmm.
So it starts at $50. And so if you don't want to plan something,
that leaves too much for chance.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just tell them your budget and they send you an Uber. And you don't know where you're going.
But you know, it's like two people do. It's not like you go as a single person to meet somebody on a mystery date. It's like two people decide to do this mystery thing, if I remember the story correctly. Right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That's
so,
right. Yeah, okay.
I mean, I think maybe you could put in a special request, but it's not advertised as a matchmaking service. You have to bring your own date.
Okay,
or actually, this would
clearing
be,
that up.
This would be fun. If I find myself with no plans tomorrow, I might just spring $50 on this and tell them to plan a date just for me to go out and take me somewhere. But they said they've done that for single people.
Okay, I just have one question real quick.
Okay.
It's been so long since I've been in the dating scene. Is Seattle's dating scene really that bad?
Yes. Well, yes, it is.
We'll be talking about that in the future.
Maybe I'll bring some Lucky Charms in tomorrow for everybody.
Oh, great.
Thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. We've got Words to Live By and your feedback coming up next. It is now 11:48, and I got to tell you, this show went by so quickly. Felix, it's been so fun to have you here.
Yeah, it's been great to be here. I've known you for so long. I worked at Kyra 30 years ago.
Yes.
29 years ago. You were here then.
I looked a lot different.
You used to be at the editor's desk, and Jim French would say, and Ursula Roytine at the editor's desk.
Yeah.
And you do the weekday almanac, or midday almanac. And so it's cool to be here between 9 and noon with you, and
that's when
I first knew you a long time ago.
So fun. Well, this is the time in the show that we listen to your feedback, or we share your feedback, and we got quite a bit today about different topics, including $30 car tabs.
Yeah, and 206 says, financing car tabs, this is about this legislation to let people pay, you know, in installments for their car tabs. Seriously, I shouldn't have to finance a 1-inch sticker.
And from a King County Sheriff's Officer, he says, I had a car that I pulled over that was over $1,500.
Yeah, and then 253 says, people don't have a problem paying high tabs if they know it's going for the roads. People are having problems paying high tabs because they know it's going to Sound Transit 3.
425, Sound Transit 3, I'm all for a re-vote on that sham. Many of us were swindled on that one. It would lose in a landslide.
Yeah. 360 says, hey, Felix, I prefer you were generous with your money, not mine. I'm glad you enjoy paying taxes. Some of us can't afford any more new taxes. It's like death by 1,000 cuts. They need to make do with the record high tax revenues already collected.
Our interview with King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg, and again, I appreciate that he joined us on the show. 425, I'm sick of all the drugs. Lock these people up. If their families care about them, they can bail them out the fourth or fifth time they get locked up. Otherwise, sit your butts in jail.
Yeah. And 206 says, thanks for asking about open drugs, which he definitely sidestepped. He could throw a rock from his window on 3rd and hit the busiest open drug market in the city. I catch my bus across from there and see it all the time. No cops arresting dealers I've ever seen.
206 says, build drug rehab jails. They are addicts. What you are doing now is not working for the masses.
And then 206 says, that conversation was so frustrating for those of us who have to worry about our cars being broken into downtown. It is just a joke.
253 says, so this guy's solution is to build more houses and build more public bathrooms than just give them to drug addicts? Ridiculous.
And then 206 says, Dan did not represent himself well or be able to make a common sense argument for non-prosecution. After listening to him, I do not feel safe walking the streets of my neighborhood. He just told us we are their victims and he wants more money to allow them to say no over and over under his explanation. It is true. There is no easy answer for any of this.
Well,
that's the thing.
Said
so
that.
It's, yeah.
I mean, he did say that. If you missed our interview, we will have it on podcast. You'll also be able to find it on our Facebook page once it's put up there later this morning. And again, we thank Dan Satterberg and we'll have continued conversations with him and many others as we continue to look for solutions. When it comes to the six-year-old who had police called to school for making finger guns at a teacher, 253 says, my son used to draw guns in elementary school. He also drew monster trucks, race cars, speedboats, submarines, airplanes. So what? It's not a threat.
Okay. And about hacking your neighborhood commute, which that guy did with a wagon full of cell phones. 360 says, Chris Sullivan, thank you for pointing out the failure of the 65th and 75th Street bike lanes. I love that kind of micro news. Those bike lanes being called out for failure. Excellent.
And with our conversation with Michael Medved, what is next in the 2020 race? 206 says, I was definitely going to be voting for President Trump when it was Warren and Biden. But now that there are some actual Democratic candidates, I'm keeping my vote undecided.
And this is one of my favorite comments. 360 says, Amy Klobuchar made her staff member eat a salad with a comb. Very presidential. Well, it was, you know, it's a solution oriented, right? It was something we can all agree on. Eat the salad with a comb rather than with your fingers.
360 says, why can't you say something nice about President Trump just once? Well, I think they missed the first show that we had when people were saying, could you please not give too much credit to President Trump? You know what? We're going to call it as we see it. And he gets credit for a lot of things. And he also deserves criticism for a lot of things.
Yep, but that's what we're here to talk about. Just the good, you know, both sides of the story. All right. We need time for one more?
Yes, one more.
425 says, Trump is an excellent president. Look at all the things he has done already. I don't know how anyone could argue that he's not doing a good job. Give him four more years and you'll see how great America really can be. I don't know if they're being sarcastic there or not. I have a feeling they're not.
No, I don't think I don't think they're being. No, there are many still diehard supporters.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're happy. Yep. $200 Disneyland passes. 360 says, I've been to Disneyland a lot, probably too many times, but the continued price hikes for the past 2 years is making it completely unaffordable for most families to visit the parks. If the owners of Disneyland want the parks empty for a luxury experience, that is the opposite of what Walt Disney wanted.
All right. And about the Catholic Church's continued prohibition of married priests and female ministers, 360 says, did you know that Timothy 4:15 condemns religious leaders who prohibit marriage? I did not know that.
No, we did not. And right now it is time for how we end the show every day, Felix, which is words to live by. And this is from listener Veronica, who posted this quote on Facebook, and that is to never expect to get what you give, because not everyone has a heart like yours. I actually looked to her Facebook page for a lot of these quotes, because she always has good ones. You can always check us out here at the G and Ursula Show on Facebook. Follow us also on Twitter at G Ursula Show, or you can also email us anytime at the G and Ursula Show at Bonneville.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We'll be here again tomorrow. The Dori Monson Show is next.